At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's podcast is presented by TickPick, exclusive sponsor of the Incline Dodgers podcast. Opening day is right around the corner. If you have not gotten your tickets yet to see your Los Angeles Dodgers play some baseball, you need to download the TickPick app right now to get your tickets. No service fees at checkout, and they offer some of the best and most competitive pricings out there on the open market. So if you want to get the best deals, download the TickPick app today to see your Los Angeles Dodgers play.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What's going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by TickPick and FanSided, and really excited this week to bring you another exclusive interview. This time, the man, the myth, the legend. He's been in Major League Baseball as a broadcaster for over 20 years. He even played at the Major League level for a split minute, and he's affiliated with a great Dodgers legend. He is the one, the only, Jose Mota. He's making his return back to the Incline Dodgers podcast. We really appreciate you spending some time with us today, Jose. How's everything going for you this offseason?
Kevin, Jay, great to be back with you guys. Obviously, it's been a while. Now we're going to talk baseball a little closer to the season. And we're feeling good. Obviously, a good offseason. I got to travel with my wife to Japan. Got to spend a lot of time with my grandkids, which is the number one thing, and time with, obviously, my dad after we lost my mom back in September. So it's been quite nice, relaxing. Got to go to spring training and broadcast a few games and spend some time there with the boys and obviously seeing how they get ready. So it's almost like, waiting for the bell to ring, which is going to be very soon here over in Korea.
Yeah. Already year three with the Dodgers. Time's flying by. So, Jose, I wanted to get your overall thoughts on the Dodgers' moves this offseason and your expectations going into this year.
I always say that the Dodgers, without Ohtani and Glasnow and Paxton and Teoscar Hernandez and Yamamoto, we're still going to be on top of the class. Now that's been elevated even more because what the Dodgers did, which I'm very glad to know and to see executed, is go out there and take care of their shortcomings. The shortcomings were quite obvious in October 2022, October 2023, not being able to get past the first round after winning 111 games and winning 100 games. So pitching needed to be addressed. It was taken care of. Then, obviously, to have this year in availability, the biggest free agent name in the history of free agency, and he decides to come to the Dodgers, it's mighty exciting. He elevates everybody else. Like, some people are going to elevate him. So obviously we're talking about the one and only Shohei Ohtani, which I am so glad to be again reunited with Shohei.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, you and Ohtani overlapped for 4 years out with the Angels organization. So you obviously have some very firsthand experience covering him and some insight that most people around Major League Baseball probably don't. So why don't we get into Shohei Ohtani right now? And first thing I wanted to kind of ask you, kind of behind the scenes, how do you think he's going to impact this Dodgers locker room? Because from what we've kind of seen so far, He's fairly quiet, keeps things to himself, and then will reveal crazy things like he just got married.
That's a Shohei that I know. And I'll tell you what, we never lost contact, even after I came to the Dodgers. Shohei's always been a very good friend. When I got to meet him back in December of 2017. Just a gracious young man, very respectful. He works like unmatched in the way he works and goes about his business. And, you know, he takes everything so seriously. He's very methodical in the way he goes about business. How will he fit? Well, he's going to fit right in because, remember, now he is not, along with Mike Trout, the only superstar. There's a bunch of superstars in the clubhouse. And it's not to say that there was any added pressure with the Angels, but all eyes were on him on Trout. When Trout didn't play, it was all on Shohei. We know that Trout has not played a lot because of the injuries in the last couple of seasons. So he's fitting right in. I mean, he's having a great time. Obviously, you've seen the videos with Teoscar and the rest of the guys. And not shying away from the, I'm not going to say the attention, but he's pretty much embraced everything that goes along with being an LA Dodger, which he knew and understood coming into this. Mm-hmm. You know, Shohei did a lot of research, believe me, on every team that approached him, on every team that he was interested in, and then on what the insights of the cultures were and are. And that's why so far it's been a very nice match. He knows it is important for him to ask questions, which he always does. Now he's got a Freddie Freeman and a Mookie Betts and a Max Muncy and Will Smith and so many other guys, of Dave Robertson, and a great staff to lean on. But certainly one thing I know is that he is very happy because he feels like legitimately with this group, there's a very good chance to do what he wants to do, which is to win, which he experienced in WBC in Japan, and he experienced before playing over in Hokkaido too.
Absolutely. On that note, do you expect Shohei to kind of open up more as he gets more comfortable and affiliated with this Dodgers organization, or is this just kind of who he is?
He will open up a little bit more. I mean, I've seen him do things so far with the Dodgers that never saw him do with the Angels. Okay. That's just the comfort level that he's in. I mean, going to the Rams game and being out in public and going in the locker room and things like that, being seen with Yamamoto and one of the Japanese, you know, dining places here in LA, things like that are just going to bring him up a little bit more. Obviously, he's quite happily now that he's revealed that he's married. But I think Shohei's never going to go away from what it means to get ready for a game. He will not let anybody or any environment interfere with getting ready for a season, getting ready for a game, and not, you know, nobody interfering with his teammates and what the culture is and what the job is and what the task is. And certainly there's going to be some learning about a lot of things for him, especially because the Dodgers are a team that you look at April and May and guys coming out of games with 85, 90 pitches, because the mentality is we want you fresh in September and going into October. So that's something that he's going to have to deal with, not because he's going to be pitching, but.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I can jump in, Jose. What you were beginning to kind of talk about, I think, is just the difference between Shohei in Anaheim and Shohei in Los Angeles, and kind of the differences there. And I'm kind of curious, because a lot of people have pointed out on Twitter that Shohei seems to be maybe happier as a Dodger than he was as an Angel. And again, you know, Kevin and I, we didn't follow the Angels as closely as you did, and Angels fans obviously, and didn't really get to see Shohei day in and day out. We just saw the kind of highlights when we'd see these, you know, amazing moonshot home runs.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I mean, do you feel like there has been a shift in his demeanor, in his personality, in his comfortability with the Dodgers versus the Angels? Do you see the differences there?
Oh, for sure I do. You know, I know, as I said, knowing Shohei, I know that he is now very comfortable. Not that he was not with the Angels, but I noticed that even going out to in public places like Japanese restaurant with Yamamoto, where he was seen and photographed, allowing people to take pictures with him. I've seen people obviously spot him in different places, but also going to the Rams game. That's something that we didn't see a whole lot of that from Shohei when he was with the Angels, for whatever reason. I cannot point to anything else. But I think there's also an understanding that when you come into a ball club like the Dodgers, and I should say an organization like the Dodgers, there are certain things that go along with that, and hiding is not going to help you. But I think that learning through his years in the big leagues now, and some of the responsibilities that go along with being a star player, which he lived in Japan, and I saw it in Japan, man. He absorbed every single minute and enjoyed it when I saw him in Japan, and I was there with him in March. But I think it's great, because the comfort level for him is going to come from the fact that obviously he wants to produce. He wants to win, and I think being now married and being able to reveal that to the world kind of changes a little bit of the perspective. But no doubt that just being around a culture that just propels and projects winning, and winning a lot and winning consistently, is for sure something that's going to bring a lot to your face in terms of smiles. And in terms of being around other superstar players, it's going to teach him a few things about how things do run here in LA compared to Anaheim.
And kind of following up on that, how you've been in Arizona, you've kind of seen what he's been like with his teammates. What is your perspective on how he's meshing with this team and how they've accepted him?
I think he comes in as humbly as he is, as modest as he is, asking questions. And anytime you see, I mean, a guy that signs the biggest contract ever, right? I think there's always that inquiry of how is he going to come in here? How is he going to fit? But to me, it's a total opposite, because I saw with the Angels when he came in. He already was a superstar and a rock star in Japan. And he came in with a very humble attitude. And that, you know, inquisitive part of you as an established player that was in the clubhouse for a long time just makes you think, okay, you know what? He's trying to fit in like a rookie. And I think Shohei has always had the mentality of making the team, you know, like I need to make the team in a way, just to keep himself fresh and keep himself in line to knowing that you got to be modest and be humble. And because of that, obviously he's never going to stop working and knowing that there's mighty goals to be reached. But I'm glad that I saw what I saw in spring training and how he intermingled with everybody. He had a great time, was his working out. Even here at Dodger Stadium, when he was just working out in January, he really incorporated himself into making sure that guys could tap into his knowledge on a lot of things, especially the younger guys that were thrown out there in bullpens and guys that were working out. Because I'll tell you what, I'll say it again, his workouts are pretty much unmatched by anybody here in the big leagues, because he's got to take care of two bodies. One is a pitcher and one is a position player.
Wanted to get some more insight, Jose. We know Ohtani is obviously super strong and hit for power when he's healthy with the elbow. He's a great pitcher. Are there any other aspects of Ohtani's game that you've noticed over the years that might often get overlooked?
Yes, I think we've seen it now in spring training, and Tim Neverett and Rick Monday pointed this out. Base running. Shohei, when he came to the big leagues with the Angels in 2018, was a fast base runner, but not a knowledgeable base runner. Now he's put it all together. Shohei has the ability to steal 50 bases, I'm telling you, easily. Easily he can steal 50 bases. But now he is also putting together the fact that he does his homework on the outfielders, on the infielders, on positioning, on where they're located in terms of, you know, leaning one way or the other with the spray charts and where they play, their arm strength, conditions of the field to become a very good base runner. And Dino Ebel, who also knows him from the Angels, is one of those guys that just allows guys like Shohei Ohtani to coach himself. You know, they make it easy on Dino. Go or not, take the extra base. But the base running is one aspect that you'll see and have a lot of fun with, because this guy's, I mean, his motion and running in spring, it's like a track star. Like he's just cruising along, perfect form, which, of course, they worked on in Japan about the form on how you run. And that's why it seems so effortless. But he puts a lot of pressure on guys when he hits a ground ball, pretty much like Ichiro Suzuki did for so many years. Base running is one part. And then the other part to me is his smarts. This guy knows the game quite well, studies the game quite well, and wants to challenge himself to take it to the next level. And my example is, for example, the walks, right? He's a free swinger at times. He'll wail out at times, have these wild swings, but he knows how to temper himself a little bit more now when it comes down to controlling the zone and making sure that because of his lineup, he can take it to another level and be more selective. Know that perhaps the pitches he will see to hit could be even richer and mightier, and he can take advantage of that to put up even bigger numbers.
Awesome. Jake, was there some other topics you wanted to cover while Jose's here?
Yeah, so obviously the biggest story coming out of spring training right now that's being discussed, and we on the Incline in our last episode had a pretty spirited debate about this, but the switch between Gavin Lux and Mookie Betts, moving Mookie Betts to shortstop, moving Gavin Lux over to second base. Obviously, the Dodgers had planned the opposite, and Mookie had been working out at second base. There was talk of Mookie wanting to win a Gold Glove at second base. Gavin Lux getting the opportunity to play his quote-unquote natural position and all of that. And now those plans have drastically changed. I just want to get your thoughts on that switch and what you think it means. And then I have a few follow-up questions to that. But let's start with what your thoughts are on that.
My initial thought on Gavin Lux coming back from a major knee injury plus his hamstring and quad were affected, okay? I was not totally convinced that he was going to be ready to play shortstop. That was my opinion from the get-go, because I've seen up-and-coming shortstops go through these types of injuries, and it's not the same. It takes a lot of time. Not to say that at some point he will not return and be a shortstop, but this timeline, you know, going from spring training to spring training, to me was going to be one that's going to be kind of questionable because of everything that's required for a shortstop to play that position. The Dodgers, instinctively, because he's such a great athlete, thought, you know what, the way he's working out, the way he's responded, every test that he needed to pass and every box he needed to check, he checked, right? But to me, there's nothing like the white lines and going in there and sticking between the white lines and then reacting to pitches, your fast twitch movements, your positioning, stop and go, first step forward, back, sideways, you know, side to side. All those things happen because to be tougher, because now you are limited by the fact that your mobility is not the same. It doesn't matter, you know, how gifted you are and how good you worked out. Working out and playing are two way different things. Mm. And that's what the Dodgers found out. To me, the obvious choice would have been had Mookie not wanted to play second base and put him at second base where he is now and then go out there and get a shortstop. But let's not forget too that the Dodgers do have backing up one of the best shortstops in baseball, Miguel Rojas, which is a nice thing to have, right? But I always had the doubt of I saw with Chipper Jones, when Chipper Jones was coming up, major knee injury, up and coming, great shortstop, couldn't play the position anymore. So they move him to the corner. He's a little more limited, you know, in terms of movement and coverage. But shortstop for Mookie Betts is a different monster, man. This is where you really have to be in every single play. He can do it, and he's willing to do it, but it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be some growing pains. We hope that, as Mookie has said so many times, he'll be as engaged as ever, and he wants to win the Gold Glove as shortstop athletically, no question. But the day-to-day, the repetitions, and being in every single play are going to be the things that I'm going to be challenging him the most. He's got the arm. The range, we'll find out about it more, because you could be quick in the outfield and doesn't play the same way in the infield. But certainly it's going to be quite interesting to see how things play out, knowing that you also have the option of moving Mookie to second base against the lefty and getting Lux out of there if you need to against certain lefties, and inserting Miguel Rojas there in the shortstop. So you have a very valid question, and questioning why not, because we don't know how this whole thing is going to pan out.
Right. And to that point, I mean, the Dodgers are taking a lot of heat for putting their superstar right fielder all around the diamond and moving him from right field to second base and shortstop. And he only played about 16 games at shortstop last season. Are you concerned at all of having the one of the Dodgers' premier players essentially playing out of position on this team that's built to win a World Series? Do you have concerns about that, or do you feel that this will just play itself out and we're kind of getting worked up over nothing?
You know, this kind of took me back to the Dodgers' way of doing things from so many years, obviously having grown up in that clubhouse. Go back to Bill Russell. Go back to Steve Garvey. Go back to Pedro Guerrero. And you see that the Dodgers have not been afraid through the years and generations to do these kinds of things. And when you see, obviously, these cases are different because those players were moved because of a lack of execution of their positions. But Mookie Betts with six Gold Gloves, there's no need, obviously, to go out there and make this move. Mookie wanted to make this move, which is much different. Now, the Dodgers didn't force him to do it. He wanted to do it. And what you do, well, you accommodate him and to play second base. Now things change. And that's why I will not be surprised if the only thing he does is catch and make the routine play. That's all he needs to do athletically. Just don't worry about the highlight play. But more than anything, and you make a very good point, with this staff and this ball club, and as much as the Dodgers always depend on their pitching, plays need to be made. It's not going to be an experiment, but I think for sure the Dodgers will keep an eye on making sure that things go right. And if they don't, I don't think they'll be afraid to make another move if needed. Hopefully not.
How do you feel like this move is sitting with the clubhouse, with the players in the clubhouse, with Mookie Betts specifically? How do you feel like it, like this move is landing with everyone? And Gavin Lux, to be honest, too.
Well, Gavin Lux, obviously, you know, I've spoken with him and in public, he came out and said, yeah, it's disappointing that he didn't do his job and didn't react or respond quickly to the challenge put in front of him, because he knows and understands, he said this before, the importance and the significance of saying, I am the shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That didn't happen this time. He moves over to second base. In the clubhouse, it's going well, because the first thing you look at is the willingness of a player to do it. And for Mookie Betts to not say, guys, you know what? I agree to do second base, but shortstop, not going to do it. He's like, why not? I've done it before in the minor leagues. It's not going to be the same. It's a different speed of the game. Instinctively, there's some things that are going to be different for him now that there's so many specialized ways in which you position yourself, how guys play, and how your pitchers work. All these are going to be relearning tools for Mookie Betts, because, for example, in the outfield, your pitch to pitch, you're not as worried about what's coming. A shortstop, not only are you worried about what's coming, I should say concerned or alert of what's coming, what pitch is coming, but you got to be alert on location of that pitch. Is the guy hitting location consistently or not? Those are adjustments you need to make on your own. And then on the same side, on a pitch that's coming, helping out your second baseman with coverage at second base, communication with the pitchers, with the outfielders. There's a lot that goes on. Also, in knowing what's coming as an infielder to help out your third baseman on reacting to pitches. And the other thing, too, is a guy on the mound that it doesn't have his best fastball, adjusting on what you need to do to improve your coverage, I know that there's so many tools now being used analytically, but there's something he can take away, which is the heart of a player, the instinct of a player, and the understanding that for Mookie Betts, it's going to be about if he did not make a play, not carry that into his at-bats. And that's going to be one thing, because I know that it happened a couple of days ago in spring training, a play that he didn't make, that you can see him put his head down, and you just hoping and saying, well, it's going to happen during the regular season, no matter what, to any shortstop. But now because he's making that transition, I just don't want him to question himself, knowing that if all he can do is make the routine play, things should be fine. And guys in the clubhouse are pretty much applauding and say, you know what, thank you for being unselfish.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And depending on how you feel about this whole situation, that's one takeaway that a lot of fans can have, is that Mookie Betts, a leader on this team, one of the best players on this team, willing to move to a position that he may be a little unfamiliar with, but doing it because he wants to win, which I think as a fan, that's, you don't, that's all you want from any one of your players, but especially one of the best players on this team.
Right. And you think about this too, and sort of cut you off, you know, you talk about being unselfish. You think about a guy like Freddie Freeman, like, hit me wherever you want. You think about a guy like Mookie Betts himself. Now think about Shohei Ohtani and what he did unselfishly to make sure the Dodgers were able to sign other players. Being unselfish as a superstar brings a lot to the table. It sends a message to your team, to the league, because Shohei could have said, you know, give my $70 million. Whatever the other problem you have is your problem, but no.
Right.
I'll take my money, but I want to have flexibility and allow you some space to bring out the Glasnow contract, a Yamamoto contract, and Teoscar Hernandez. And that's why guys like this are so important in the culture they allow the Dodgers to continue on. They have to put so for so many generations.
I was just going to follow up on the whole shortstop thing. And I'm with Jose, and I think, you know, the Dodgers aren't going to overlook this issue, because you can maybe get by in the regular season, but when we get to the postseason, runs come at a premium. And if you have your defense that you can't trust and they give up free outs, we've seen it time after time, and it just ends oftentimes bad. Whether it's 2003, was it Alex Gonzalez botched a ball? Cubs lose the game, they blame it on Bartman.
Right
field, Texas Rangers, St. Louis Cardinals, Nelson Cruz couldn't field a ball, hit by David Freese, leads to a walk-off triple or whatever.
Yeah, they were a strike away from winning that World Series.
Yeah, and remember the was it the 06 Cardinals and Tigers? The pitchers couldn't feel their position?
Yeah.
There's another one.
Oh, my God. It was like PFP. You're going, wait a minute. Spring training, the first thing you do is what? Right?
PFPs.
And here we are now in October in the World Series, and guys could not feel their position. It's crazy.
Yep. Just had a couple quick more questions. This one's more fun, I think. Non-Dodger, Jose, who's a Major League Baseball player currently active that you admire a lot?
Man, you know, I'm a fan of the game, and there's some guys that I watch. Aaron Judge, I mean, for crying out loud, how good is he? And as big as he is, and one thing I remember about Aaron Judge and the times I've talked to him is, another humble guy, I mean, a gentle giant, okay? Playing in New York, carrying on those pinstripes, power, speed, moving position. I'll go to center field if you need me. I'll go to right, wherever you need. Good base runner and just a good all-around player and a good hitter. And for Aaron Judge, to me, I'll never forget the first September he spent in the big leagues, and he had like 179. And he told me the story about, I kept the 179 on my phone. I wrote it 179. I woke up to the 179 pretty much every morning to remind me of how hard this is and how much I don't want that number attached to me. Well, he's got a 60 plus now attached to him, and that's why I admire a guy like this, among many other players that I like, but he comes to the top of my head.
Can you imagine that guy playing shortstop?
No, not even third base.
I know.
If at all, maybe in the infield at first base, maybe.
Right, maybe later in his career.
Yeah, he's definitely a very talented and generational player. Just keep him away from bullpen gates at Dodger Stadium. And then finally, my last question for you, Jose. Obviously, you were with the Angels a long time. It feels like they're in some form of purgatory right now. Is this franchise in trouble? Can they get out of this mess? Like, what do you think is the next what are the next 5 years for the Angels kind of look like?
Here's to me what the Angels' mentality is at this point. Obviously, they know they have the Rendon situation. They need that guy on the field, and Rendon needs to want to be on the field. When he's on, man, he is a show, and being around him and the way he plays third base and, you know, his RBI situation, his mentality as a hitter are all there, but they need him to be on the field. Mike Trout needs to be on the field too now that you see the decline in his games played. And he came to spring training with a different mentality, and hopefully his body will contribute. Now, where do I see the organization? Perry Manassian, who I've known for a long time. Audie Moreno, who I've known for a long time, obviously. Our guys are not thinking about a rebuild or purgatory or anything like that. They're saying, okay, let's look at a team like Arizona Diamondbacks, Detroit Tigers, for example, where they were a couple of years ago and where they are now, knowing that the challenge is there, because when – you look at what they need, and starting with a young pitching that has not panned out and some young players have not panned out, they're hoping that now with this group they have now, at least they are trekking in the right direction. The challenge is mighty because there's a lot of questions to be answered. But at the same time, the mentality has never been one of the reset, we start again, because they know that in the big leagues, when you play 162 and you just hit the right notes and you run into the right fortunes and luck, things can change very quickly, and hopefully that is the case. But there's no doubt that there's a lot of work to be done in that organization.
Definitely. Anything else, Jake?
No, Jose, thank you so much for joining us, man. This was great, great insight. Loved your take on Shohei's base running. I think a lot of fans are going to take note of that. I certainly will be paying more attention to it. So we really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. You know what? One more thing, too, that I haven't shared yet, but Shohei Ohtani, the year after his arm surgery, okay, elbow surgery, which was when he came back in 19, his spray chart, pay attention to this, is one what we see now in spring training. And what am I talking about? The year after his surgery, he had 18 home runs. 10 of those 18 home runs came from center field to left field. In spring training, what have we seen? Home runs to opposite field. Now, he's always had that power, but I know that I pointed this out during one of my Angels Live shows a couple of times. I go, you know, after his surgery on his arm, it seems like it took him a little bit of time to be able to extend his arm and freely swing the bat. So pay attention to that, because I'm seeing the same trend. He ended up having a very fine year, and his spring training has been off the charts, but certainly I'll be paying more attention to this, because Shohei, and when I asked him about this later on, a year after, he goes, that allowed me to stay closer to the baseball, and he found more of the opposite field, because at times he was restricted a little bit more from swinging freely and not extending the arm. So keep a close eye on that. And I'm not saying he's not healthy. I'm just saying that with time, as we talk about Gavin Lux, it takes a little bit of time sometimes in your mind to say, I can freely just go out there and let it go and let it loose. So keep an eye on that spray chart here in 2024.
Good enough. Awesome. All right. Well, this is what we manifested. The last time Jose was on, I believe Albert Pujols had just crushed his 700th career home run. And I said, keep your eye out on Shohei Ohtani to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And here we are a year and a half later. It's finally happening.
It's good to have the resources and the money, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Not our money.
Exactly. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's Jose Mota, everyone. Make sure to follow him, and he'll be covering the Dodgers all season long.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.